640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Mara Rubin in New York. Seven are dead after a car ran into people in Brownsville, Texas, near a migrant shelter. At least six others are injured. The driver was arrested at the scene. And this comes as Title 42 ends this week.
The surge is expected as the Biden administration prepares to lift Title 42 restrictions at the border.
We've been preparing for this for more than a year and a half.
Secretary Mayorkas tells CBS's Face the Nation that's why the administration is taking steps like sending troops to the border, not to enforce, but to backstop border control agents. Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott tells Fox News that doesn't fix the problem.
President Biden is sending 1,500, quote, soldiers to do paperwork.
And he blames what he calls the open border policies of the Biden administration. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
And President Biden is calling on Congress to ban assault weapons following yesterday's mass shooting at a mall in Texas. This man rushed to render aid before the ambulances arrived.
The first girl I walked up to was crouched down, covering her head in the bushes. So I felt for her pulse, pulled her head to the side, and she had no face.
This is the nation's 23rd mass shooting in the last week alone. Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez says this should not be the case.
People need to really wake up. I mean, wake up to what's happening here. It's almost become some normal event for everybody.
Congressional leaders will meet Tuesday with President Biden about the debt ceiling. Correspondent Nicole Killian.
The White House continues to insist that it wants a clean debt limit increase without any kind of preconditions. And that's something that Speaker McCarthy is not bringing to the table. His conference passed this wide-ranging bill that would raise the debt limit and shred some $4.5 trillion from federal programs. But that simply goes too far for the president.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said today there are no good options if Congress fails to raise the limit by June 1st. Russia is accused of using phosphorus bombs in Bakhmut. CBS's Charlie Daggett has more from Ukraine.
The battle for Bakhmut has burst into flames. Ukraine accusing the Wagner mercenary group of using banned incendiary weapons, possibly white phosphorus, posting videos as proof. Deploying them in civilian areas is a war crime.
The Arab League has agreed to reinstate Syria, ending a 12-year suspension. Foreign ministers of 13 of the league's 22 member states voted today in Cairo. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, your personal injury attorneys with over 35 years of experience. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
That's what we like to do on this show. Find the comedy gold. I just like
non-fungible as a word.
It is a good word.
It's a wonderful, it just has a good mouthfeel.
La-di-da, la-di-da, la-la.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are very excited to have our inaugural segment, which we have not named yet, with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who is going to be joining us from now on Thursdays to, at least for the time being, tackle all the different facets of women's health, because there are a lot of different topics in that. And I think as, you know, there's not a lot of women in talk radio. And so I feel like a lot of times these topics don't get talked about on the radio. And so we could not be more excited to have you here, Dr. Lyerly.
Well, thanks. I did bust out the word vulva this morning during Pat's show, and that was well received.
How did he react?
Well, you know, his wife is an OBGYN.
Yeah, that's true.
So he didn't blush too much, but Luke Mathers, it was almost palpable.
We did an entire segment. Was that this year? Was that the end of last year?
I think it was this year.
When Mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, do you remember this? He basically came out and had a speech talking about women's health and saying that the importance of women's health, but saying that if we would all just be more comfortable saying the word vagina,
yeah,
that maybe we'd be in a better place with women's health. And so we had an entire, I think, 30-minute segment, and Jane blushed more than once, I think, of saying, like, why are we so uncomfortable with some of these words that are anatomy?
It's medical terminology.
It's medical terminology for basic anatomy, and yet sometimes we, especially with women's stuff, are like, oh, no, we don't talk about those things.
It's all part of the problem, isn't it? When it's so taboo and so shameful to even know what your own anatomy is. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been sitting in an exam room with someone, talking with them about something that's happening with their own body, and they don't even know that their ovaries are different than their uterus. It's fascinating.
And do you think some of that is they just weren't paying attention to health class and it didn't stick? Because to a certain extent, or is it just not being taught?
I think it depends on where you had your health class.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Or like the level of comfort. Like I can tell you my four sons.
I forget that you
so
have
much
four
more,
sons.
Right? Yeah. And they know way more about women and their bodies and women's health than I did even going into college, just because we talk about it and we talk so freely about it. And I don't think, like, they're my own kids, so I don't think they would necessarily come to me with too many sensitive subjects. Like, they've got other resources. You know, there's still that parent barrier. But because we've made it approachable and we've made it, like, in this world, you are likely at some point in your life to have sex. So
likely
you might as well do it well and enjoy it and be safe
and be safe.
And smart.
Yes. All of those things. And so what we were excited about doing this, like I said, as there's not always a lot of, I think often in the talk radio world, women's issues or general issues, but from a women's perspective, but also women's health just doesn't get talked about because male hosts don't always, that's not where they gravitate to, right? Like sometimes we often want to talk about the things that we are interested in and relate to us, and not having a lot of women hosts means that sometimes these things don't get talked about. So we're very excited to be a show that is going to put these issues front and center and talk about it each week. And we would love to hear topic suggestions from you.
Or if you have questions.
Or if you have questions each week. And I know, Kristen, and Dr. Lyerly, you were saying, you know, obviously you're an OBGYN, but you have a network of other doctors who we might be able to bring on the show and talk about menopause or talk about heart disease and talk about different things like cervical cancer.
Osteoporosis.
And, you know, I think some of the topics we even threw out in the first place was like the history of women's health, which I find fascinating because there's still so little. I feel like science is still playing catch up with women's health because for so long they were only doing studies on men and just applying the findings to women.
They still are. I mean, until recently, women weren't even included in most studies. And I'm not talking about like studies of women's reproductive anatomy. I'm talking about like heart disease. Heart disease is the number one killer of women.
Yeah.
And we were doing studies on men. And like you said, applying that information to women, and it doesn't apply. Women experience heart disease in a very different way. Our risk factors are different. The timing of heart disease in women is different. So it's apples and oranges. And another big push that we've recently had as a professional organization is to include pregnant and lactating women in research, because we give people who are pregnant. I mean, you're pregnant.
I am.
Have you taken any medications in your pregnancy? Most pregnant women have, whether it's Tylenol or a vitamin or an herbal supplement or something. We don't have data on most of that stuff. So we really do need to include people with an informed consent, like, you know, people who can consent to these research trials so that we have more information. So we're not experimenting on the whole population. We will have better information.
And we're talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly for our new segment that's yet to be named. We're going to, in the next segment, we did a little crowdsourcing on Twitter to get some ideas.
And
there's some good ones.
There are some fantastic ideas.
And so we're going to go through the options in the next segment. So maybe we'll get your vote if you want to let us know what you think we should call this. But we'll have a name by next week. But the segment is going to be every Thursday. We're going to talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about women's health, sometimes bring other experts on. Today's topic, because of the news that was announced, is we are going to talk about pregnancy. And speaking of what you were just saying as far as, yes, I mean, I know that right now I can take Tylenol and there's a lot of other medications I cannot take. But what's fascinating is I have started to read what I, you know, has been recommended to me with pregnancy stuff is how little research is actually done and what we don't know about pregnancy, because there's not that many studies that are done. And so like the misconceptions around drinking, the misconceptions around stress and like what you should do and what you can't do and Listeria. And I haven't had a Jimmy John sub for months now.
You can have tuna.
Is that what you can have tuna? Yeah. And so we're certainly in the third segment, and at the bottom of the hour, we're going to come back and talk about some of the myths. But truly, there's not a ton of, there's still so much more research to do on pregnancy, right?
I feel like when I'm talking with my patients and advising them, and we're talking about evidence, when I'm questioned, so much of the stuff that I say, I'm like, well, this is just because of, it's how we do it, because that's the best we've got right now. I know.
That happened to me. That happened to me even with her due date. And so this is, I haven't even told you this story. So I asked my doctor, because Michael was very keen on finding out the actual conception date because he wanted to be able to tell that story. And I asked our doctor, she's like, we don't know. We actually don't know how to actually like pinpoint it. And so it's like the best science we have right now is going off of your last period. And so we go in for our whatever, the 12-week scan, 13-week scan or something like that. And they start measuring the baby and they're like, wait, what? What's your due date? And I told them and they're like, all right, we'll be right back. They literally, because it was she was measuring as like 14 weeks and I was only supposed to be 13 weeks. And so they moved my due date up a week because she's just, she might just be big. That could be true.
She's going to be tall. She is going to be
but
a tall
it's like,
girl.
The even due dates are kind of just like, all right, we'll go with that.
Well, and that brings up another whole really interesting point. So early in the first trimester, all embryos grow at approximately the same rate. So the best way to figure out what your due date is going to be is with that early first trimester ultrasound and measuring, we call it a crown rump length, but it's like the head to the butt. Mm-hmm. So that's a really great way to date a pregnancy. But when you think about it, like when you're 6 weeks pregnant, you're really only 4 weeks pregnant. Mm-hmm. Because those first 2 weeks, that goes back to the first day of your last period. And you probably didn't get pregnant until 2 weeks after that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So when you're talking about like a 6 week abortion ban,
yeah,
most people probably just missed their period. And if they have long cycles, like 35 day cycles, which is not unusual, then they literally probably missed their period 6 days ago. So how do you have the time to get the testing and do all the planning and, you know, pull all that together in that short period of time?
Well, especially when it's an unplanned pregnancy, because I think when you're trying to get pregnant, the first day of your missed period, you're like taking a test. But when you're not expecting that and you're just busy,
you're not testing for it.
And you're not testing for it. Absolutely. As far as like, wait, when was it? I don't know. And then all of a sudden it was a week ago. And so, yeah, it is certainly part of that. But I guess, what are some of the other topics that you think we should throw out there as far as potential Thursday women's health topics?
Oh, there's so much to talk about. I would love to hear from your audience about what they want to talk about. But menopause, for sure, that's one that I get all the time. And maybe that's just like my cohort right now. But there's just no information out there about like, are hormones safe? Are they not safe? Should I get pellets? Who should I talk to? What are the risks if I do it? What are the risks if I don't? So I think menopause is a huge one. Preventive care, like what do I actually need to do? Do I need a pap test? Those guidelines have changed a lot. You don't need a pap and a pelvic every year like you used to 15 years ago.
Also, mammograms, what are the like most recent advice on how often you're getting mammograms and depending on what age you are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Osteoporosis screening, sexually transmitted infections, different types of contraception. There are new methods of contraception that are out there now. I mean, really, it's endless, the amount of information. And being able to dispel myths. Like a lot of people think that Plan B is an abortion. The morning after pill is an abortion. But hey, it's not.
It's not an
Plan
abortion.
Plan B, the morning after pill. Yeah, it's contraception. It prevents pregnancy. But even physicians are confused about it. One of my colleagues at Madison just did a study surveying physicians, and they don't even really know unless they're dealing with this on a regular basis. So there's tons of information.
Tons of stuff.
About.
And I see that we already have one question about pregnancy that we'll get to at the bottom of the hour. But when we come back, we're going to pick a name for this segment. So we need your input. So stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 81. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight. Isolated thunderstorms likely, 50. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Highs around 56. Chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday, with highs in the mid-60s. Mainly clear Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 77 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are doing our new segment, our new Thursday weekly segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, where we tackle women's health issues and topics and questions, because it's something that, at least on radio airwaves, doesn't necessarily always get as much attention as it should. And so we are excited, as a women-hosted show, to have you here every week, Dr. Lyerly. And but, you know, we still need to have some a comedic angle to this, because this is As Goes Wisconsin.
And there's got to be a whoop whoop boing in there somewhere, Dr. Lyerly.
There's got to be some silliness that can't all be serious, because that's just not how we do it on this show. And so you had the great foresight to ask people, because people are funny. People are great with puns. And so I thought we'd go through. I think the three of us ultimately get the final say, but I wanted to read some of the suggestions that we got for anyone to let us know what they think and what their vote would go to. As far as naming the segment. So every week when Dr. Lyerly joins, we're welcome to our weekly segment of ta-da! And then we'll go on to talk about whatever the topic is for the day. So, I'm just going to go
and
through
this. If this goes well, then next week, maybe we can name your baby.
Dr. Lyerly, that's already done.
Little Janie.
Little Jane.
Yes. She's very adamant that if she's going to continue to be my producer, we need to name our child, our firstborn, after her.
I think it's fair.
It's fair.
All right. Mm-hmm. So here are some of the options we have. Cheese meds.
I like cheese meds.
But weren't you and there's only one med. There's only one doctor, so the plural doesn't.
Cheese med.
This one's pretty good. Public cervix announcement.
Public cervix announcements.
Public cervix. No. Cervix.
That's got potential.
It
does.
Uteruses before deuteruses.
And let's add ovaries before brovaries.
There we go. Yep.
Oh, those could rotate.
And this one, I think this is my leader, but I won't taint anyone out there. From here to fertility and beyond.
Leaves a lot of openness.
I feel like, yeah, I like how that it opens itself up to a lot of different topics that we might be able to cover. The vagina dialogues.
Play off the vagina monologues.
Because we're having a dialogue. We're having conversations.
Sure.
This is what I think we just need to call you, Dr. Lyerly, is OPBGYN.
You know, my favorite thing about that, I really, really love that for so many reasons. But one of my favorite things is that that actually came from Senator André Jacques' brother, Pierre.
That makes it so much better.
That much more glorious.
That so is.
Here's to you, Pierre. You're amazing.
Thanks, Pierre. That is really good.
That's
our
good.
Own OPE BYGYN. I just have to be able to say it fast.
That might be the sticking point on that particular suggestion.
Womb.
That doesn't have to be the name of the segment. That can just, be just, my name.
That's just her name.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. This one comes with an actual. Not only just the name, but a tagline as well, or like a description. Womb Wisecracks, Laughing Through Women's Health, a playful and informative series where the OBGYN, Wisconsin-based comedian and radio legend come together to share crucial information on women's health while keeping it light and humorous for their audience.
Wow.
Okay, but that one actually came from ChatGPT.
Did it really?
Yeah.
That is
because we ask the people and the people ask ChatGPT.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and speaking of chat, you asked ChatGPT. And so do you have it up, or I have it up if you don't?
No, you go right ahead.
All right. So you posted this as far as not this is the AI talking as far as because I love that you what was your original prompt?
It wasn't me.
Oh, this wasn't you.
It was a friend.
So here, we'll run down because I love that there was original prompt and then this because it's just a screenshot and then the subsequent prompt was make it more Wisconsin. So these are the names. Sure, here are some Wisconsin inspired titles: The Cheesehead Chronicles of Women's Health, Scotty Snatch Talk.
Veto. I'm gonna weigh in on that one. That would be a no.
That would be a no.
That's a no.
The Bratwurst and Bacterial Vaginosis Show.
That's AI
often
generated.
Brew City Babes discussing women's health. The Dairyland Diaries of Women's Wellness. Milwaukee Muff Monologues. The Sheboygan Shuffle Women's Health Edition. Green Bay Gynecologist Gab Fest.
The that's Kenosha, dinner at the Lyerly House.
The Kenosha Kegel Connection.
Everybody, take a moment. Take a moment. Kegel.
Think about it.
Let it go.
Think about it. Yep.
Madison Menstruation Musings. I like the alliteration. I like that the AI likes alliteration. All right. If any of those stood out to you, text us. Let us know which one you think we should name this segment. What's the most appropriate but still funny? Some of those were definitely not appropriate.
A little too far.
We didn't have to touch the dump button, but a little much.
Borderline, perhaps.
I think I know my favorite still, but we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. And when we come back, we're actually going to tackle some pregnancy stuff.
And if you have questions, send them in. Again, 844 967-2789 844-96-PARTY. Gee whiz.
It's the snatch. The snatch got you a little
I'm thrown. Kerfuddled. It just threw me up.
All right. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will still be here when we come back. We will take your questions. She will answer some of my questions about pregnancy. And we're going to have a fun time. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Special Report. There are 7 people dead in Brownsville, Texas, after a driver ran them over near a migrant shelter. CBS's Nicole Skanga is there.
Police say they're investigating whether the driver acted intentionally. The incident happened just after 8:30 a.m. local time. Brownsville Police Lieutenant Martin Sandoval said 7 victims died at the scene. At least 4 other victims were taken to area hospitals.
The victims were all sitting on the curb out front of the migrant center near a bus stop.
The driver was arrested and charged with reckless driving, though police say more charges are likely to be filed.
Witnesses to the incident stopped to pray nearby, and this occurred as the end of an emergency immigration restriction known as Title 42 ends this week. Again, at least seven hit and killed by a car in Brownsville, Texas, outside a migrant center. CBS News Special Report. I'm Mara Rubin.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Homeownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to iupatdc7.com.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turners at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
2020. That's the vision at Holtebeck Eye Center. At Holtebeck Eye Center, they provide the most professional and compassionate care in the industry, from your first call to follow-up after treatment. If you've been dreaming of seeing clearly again, Dr. Holtebeck can restore your vision with expert care and attention to issues like cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetes complications. You'll not only see better, but feel better too. Don't wait any longer. Improve your eyesight. Visit Holtebeck.com. That's HOLTEBECK.com.
Well, I'm going to Elk Camp. I got my best boots on. I got my cooler packed to the top. And you can bet your ass I'm gone. I'm going to Elk Camp.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bright. She is Jane Metnair. Leave it to Jane to find a song about elk.
Elk Camp.
Elk
Who doesn't
camp.
Want to go to elk camp? And I have elk sounds, too, for later.
Wow. How long did it take you to find that stuff?
Not nearly long enough. I could have spent much more time.
Well, that can only mean one thing. We're going to talk about elk. And specifically, we're talking about Wisconsin elk calves and the opportunity, which too many volunteers. There's too many people who already signed up to do this. So we're no longer recruiting you. We're just letting you know that this is happening between May 19th and June 18th. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is going to be collaring elk calves in order to do a multi-year study about elk herds. And so here to tell us more about it is DNR wildlife biologist Christina Kazuski. Thank you for joining the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show today. So, being able to share a few details about the process.
Yeah, so I guess let's just start from the top as far as, like, we have more questions of like, where are the moms? How do you not get stampede?
But we'll get there.
Let's just start from like what the purpose is, what the study is looking at.
Sure. So the reason we collar the elk calves is to look at their survival to year one. So information from the GPS collars, we obtain the GPS collar data, and that information goes into our population estimate. So we have one parameter into the population model is the calf survival rate. So that information gets put into the model, and amongst other parameters that go into that model, we can get a population estimate.
And about how many population, what is the elk population in Wisconsin, Christina?
Sure. So elk primarily reside in two different herds, one in the northern elk zone, which is Hayward, Clam Lake, kind of the Schwamigan, Nicolet Forest, and then the Flambeau as well. So that's what we kind of refer to as the northern elk herd. That is approximately 270 elk before calves are born this spring. And then the central elk zone, which primarily resides in Jackson County, we're sitting at about 125 elk before calves. So we do expect about 32 to 35 elk calves to be born in the central elk zone down here in Jackson County. And then to the north, they're looking at about 85 to 90 calves expected to be born.
So then those don't seem like huge numbers. So there's a lot less elk than deer.
Yes, yes. So this was a reintroduced herd, or these herds were reintroduced. So elk were native in Wisconsin, and they were extirpated in the late 1800s. So in 1995... 25 elk were reintroduced into the Clam Lake area. That was a herd sourced from Michigan. And then subsequently in 2015 and 2016, elk from Kentucky were brought to the Jackson County area. There was... So that was 2015 and 2016. So that was approximately 73 elk were released in those years down in the Jackson County. And then in 2017 and 2019, about 90 elk were released in that Clam Lake, Schwamigan, Nicolet Forest. So reintroduced herd, there's good population increases, especially within both of those herds. So definitely a lot less elk in Wisconsin than deer. Yes.
So are they protected then? Is this is not something you can go hunting?
So there is an elk hunt. It's held in the fall every year. Okay. For the northern elk zone.
Got it. Okay.
The quotas are very small. State licensed hunters, there's a drawing, and the state licensed hunters had an opportunity at one of four tags the last few years. So there's been a hunt occurring in the northern elk zone since 2018.
And Christina, what are the natural predators for elk? I suppose is it coyotes and wolves?
So we see some predation on the calves primarily, not so much as the adults, but so that's part of what this study kind of looks at is the cause-specific mortality of calf mortalities. So especially in the north, the northern elk zone, there's a little bit more predation on the calves due to wolves or bear. We do see some predation on in the central elk zone as well, but hadn't had a wolf predation in the central zone since 2017. So, just different landscapes, different causes of mortality.
We're talking to Christina Kaczewski, who is a wildlife biologist with the DNR, about the upcoming collaring of elk calves. And so I want to hear more about what this looks like as far as, because I feel like it would be cool, but also the process of going and putting a collar around any wild animal, even if they couldn't hurt me, I would assume, like, elk are not small. And so, like, explain more about why you need the volunteers, and also, like, what to expect, what the volunteers that you have can expect once they get out there and they start putting collars on these little babies.
Sure. So we utilize our preparations for this calf searching project actually occur back in the winter time. So during the winter, we can trap the adult elk, and we do that by making these larger pens. And then once they come into the pen, we can close the door behind them, and we will immobilize the adult elk. So we utilize that time in order to put out these GPS collars. So we use the GPS collars on the cows specifically to be able to gauge whether or not there might be a calving event. So when the elk are primarily a herd animal, so they typically reside in larger herds or groups with other elk. And so when we see a movement by the GPS collar away from that herd, and then a very localized set of data points or GPS locations, that's pretty indicative of a calving event. So it's that cow moving away from the herd, finding a quiet, secure area for her to give birth to. So once that once we see that on our computer screens, we can call in our volunteers who obviously have abundant amount of interest, but we're very lucky to be able to have them, because it is important to be able to cover some ground and have very keen eyes to be able to find these calves. So basically what it looks like is 1 to 2 kind of DNR staff will go in first and very quietly try to observe the cow. And what you're looking for there is maybe you'd be able to see a calf right there with her. So that's, of course, a positive observation. But you can also determine maybe by her size, or how robust she might be, whether or not she had a calf or not. But so you can kind of pinpoint the location a little bit better, too, when you go in quietly, just a small single or pair of people. So then once that occurs, then, you know, the staff will kind of pull out and recruit or gather up the rest of the volunteers. So you're shoulder to shoulder, probably spaced like 5 to 10 feet apart, depending on the density of cover. And so you form a straight line, like I said, shoulder to shoulder kind of, and you just kind of make a swath through the, you know, whatever the vegetation or habitat is, and you're searching for the elk calf. So,
are they laying on the ground? So they're not standing yet? Okay.
Yep. So they are able to stand, but their natural response to evade predators is very similar to a white-tailed deer fawn, where they're hunker down very quietly, motionless. That's their kind of evasion of predators. So it's definitely a tricky thing to do. At times they are missed because they are good at what they're doing. So it's a difficult
evolution. They're good at not being caught, so they can survive.
Exactly. So Christina, so this is a bull. These are some elk sounds that I found. And these are the males.
Yes.
But When you're looking for the calves, where is mom in all of this? Because I follow a number of dog mushers on Twitter who talk about their encounters with moose, and moose are terrifying. Are elk less scary than moose?
Typically, the cow will move off. Yes. So as opposed to moose and their defense mechanism, if you may. We've more often seen the cows will just move off. Sometimes they'll be making some mews, or if they're really agitated, they'll do a bark. But typically, they'll move off and away from the calf. So you know, as the calf gets older, they'll invest more defense almost. So we try to go in so we can handle the calves and they don't run away from us, but B, so that the mom isn't as defensive. So typically we try to aim for that 1 to 4 or 5 day old time period for those reasons. So
it's not like she will abandon them once the baby smells like a human and she leaves it alone. She'll go back to it.
Yeah. So there's definitely a few precautionary ways we can help with controlling abandonment. We ask all of our volunteers not to wear any bug spray. And then also everyone is wearing a set of gloves. So as you're making these movements or sweeping motions through the woods, really anyone in the line can observe the elk, and usually, or the calf, it's usually hunkered down and doesn't move. But in case someone does need to, you know, kind of grab the elk calf and hold it in place, we need people to have gloves, because it's just, we take as many precautions as we can to minimize our effects. And one of those effects might be scent. So that's why we ask for no bug spray and everyone to be gloved up. So we have not had an abandonment, instance in our collaring for the calves.
So how many years have you guys done this?
It's started I think soon after the release of the introduction. So they've been searching, you know, and collaring since after the reintroduction. But we continually update our information, and that's what goes into the population estimate. So
I would bet that you would get the same volunteers though.
I was going to ask, what are the volunteers like?
It must be so thrilling though to be, you know, out in the wilderness and looking, and then you find a little baby, and I just get chills just thinking about it.
Yes, it's definitely quite the experience. And I think that's why we saw so much interest in signing up for this volunteer opportunity. We had to close it a little bit earlier than what we thought, but we want to be able to give as many people the opportunity to at least be on a roster and have the potential to search for a calf.
I love that enough people are like paying attention to the DNR's website, like, and that this pops out. They're like, all right, go. like the lottery is open. Get in there now. And like, it's so typical Wisconsin that there's that many people who are paying attention and want to go spend an afternoon or a weekend doing this. And so any other interesting studies that you're working on these days, Christina?
So similarly with the calves, we also do keep track of our mortality, causes for the cows as well. So we're constantly making those investigations and just trying to figure out, if it's a man-made kind of issue. Car vehicle collisions is a big issue down for the central zone. Mm-hmm. So, trying to work with our, partner agencies and even our, tribal governments too, to, try to figure out how to minimize that as much as possible. But, you know, elk's a wild animal and they don't necessarily know any confines or boundaries. So.
And what was it like the first time you heard those elk calls in the wild? That must just be freaky.
It's fabulous. You know, it's such a large animal, especially in the fall when the bulls are bugling, and you're on foot on the same plane and level as they are. And they just thunder through the woods. So it's amazing to be able to hear a bugle out on the landscape. And that's, you know, that's a big draw for people too, is the, photos and the viewing and the, you know, bugling in the fall. It really is a big attraction to people.
Well, very cool. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us. Christina Kaczewski is a wildlife biologist at the DNR working on elk stuff. This was very fun. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate you too. Thank you very much.
Have a great day. All right. We're going to talk about parrots when we come back. A different kind of animal. And they like FaceTime. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
For elk camp number two.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Isolated thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows level off around 50. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 56. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 48. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 77 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. We were just talking about elk.
I love stuff like that.
Me too.
It makes me so happy.
I love that you called it freaky and she called it fabulous. I was also imagining you volunteering to do that. And for people who don't know, and why would you know? Because even when you watch the live stream, which you can always do on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, follow As Goes Wisconsin, you can see Jane, but you can't see her shoes. Jane has a great wardrobe of sparkly sneakers.
I do.
And I was just imagining as she was describing, like, going through the terrain and having to, like, spread out and try to find the calf of you, like, tiptoeing around in your sparkly shoes, trying to find this, like, baby elk.
They're sparkly boots, Kristen. First of all, you gotta get, I like would like, you know, some knee-high rubber ones, and then I could bedazzle them myself.
Maybe we could do camouflage sparkly shoes. Someone's gotta make those.
Don't tease me like that. You're gonna make me crazy. And now I'm just happy that we have elk sounds. So whenever we need elk sounds, we got them.
What are you going to use them for? I feel like we have to come up with some kind of game or like callback that every time something XYZ happens, we play the elk sound and we scare the hell out of our guests who don't know what we're talking about.
But I do. I love our DNR and they have so many different things going on. And I love that people love it.
Yeah.
And are involved and care and sign up and volunteer and get out there. It's great.
Because I feel like this isn't the first time that we've interviewed someone from the DNR, by the time they came on the show, they no longer needed the thing that they were asking for.
Right.
Because it was already filled up.
Yeah. Which is just so wonderful. So well done.
Well done. So this has nothing to do with the DNR, but it is another species of animal. Parrots. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been a bird person?
My ex-husband had a bird.
And were you a fan?
I didn't mind him.
Okay.
You know, and we had parakeets when I was a kid. Unfortunately, you'd go on, take the sheet off Cheaper's cage one day and he's on his back with a little claws in the air. So they never seem to last very long.
Mm.
Short lifespan. At least our parakeets.
I wonder how that works because I have two friends who now live in Madison who have, I think they have three parakeets. Who have been alive for a while.
Oh, really?
They moved cross country with them.
Wow.
I mean, I think they've had them at least since they got married, and they got married in 2018.
Wow.
And unless one of them has died and they just didn't make a Facebook announcement out of it, but they were the biggest bird people I know as far as, and they just like let them out of the cage and they'll be working from home and one of them will just be sitting on their shoulder and it's just, they are bird people. And it's just, that's how they live.
Well, and parrots live a long time.
Yeah. So this was, I love this, that they even studied this. So a new study had parrot owners in the U.S. teach their feathered pets to use tablets to make video calls.
Independently?
I think so. And so they taught, I mean, parrots are super smart.
They
taught them how to use a tablet and to like basically, I guess, with their beak, touch whatever, which is interesting because I always thought on tablets, just like your iPhone,
It was about your fingertips.
It's your fingertip, and I thought it had to be a certain temperature, which is why when your phone's too hot or too cold, you can't actually use it.
Right.
Or like why when you wear gloves, you can't
right.
just touch it's... your... Who knows? Anyways, they taught them how to use tablets. Don't ask questions, Kristen.
Okay.
and just like humans in the early days of lockdown, the birds felt less lonely when they could virtually hang out with other birds.
Oh, my God.
The parrots could choose who they wanted to ring, and the popular birds turned out to be the ones who initiated the most phone calls. Isn't that wild?
So Polly calls Cracker, and then Cracker wants to call Polly because Polly reached out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that funny? And so Polly wanted FaceTime, you know? And I just thought that was... It's always funny to me when, you know, the actual emotions. I mean, like, how do you study whether or not a parrot's feeling lonely? Like, what are the measurements of that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But how, I love yeah, that. I love that tell? Someone I mean, was like, "This is we're going to study this."
Okay.
And there's, yeah, right? And there are enough people who are like, "All right, this is the controlled group. This is the variable." Let's go.
Well, and even more amazing is they found someone to fund it.
That's true.
Right? You know, I can see a bunch of scientists sitting around going, wouldn't this be a great thing? And then they have to go get someone to pay for it.
And they're like, what does this solve?
Right.
What does this actually help?
How will this help us?
But yeah, so I thought that was an interesting factoid to share. But here's another interesting factoid. So we all know, I guess we didn't really talk about it much on the show, but Bed Bath & Beyond... End of an era.
Yes.
They are closing down. I think it was over the weekend was the last day you could go use. I used to just have like Ziploc bags full of those coupons.
Did you really?
You could only use them one at a time. You couldn't go in and like use multiple. And they just, I mean, literally, you should never have paid full price.
For anything
at Bed Bath & Beyond. But I guess if you have expired Bed Bath & Beyond coupons, even though Bed Bath & Beyond is closing, like all of them are closing, there are some retailers who will honor them, which I find super surprising. So Big Lots and the Container Store, which is pretty expensive.
Right.
Said they will accept Bed Bath & Beyond coupons that the bankrupt retailer won't honor anymore. So if you didn't throw those away yet... And you want to go check out if Big Lots or the Container Store has what you're looking for, they will honor that.
That's kind of smart on their part. You're trying to get people in your store who might never have been in there before.
Yeah. Right?
I have never been in a Container Store, never.
Really?
No.
Oh.
I've never been in a Container Store.
They're wonderful.
For containers,
but
are
yeah.
Are they like magical containers?
No, they're just any... I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, it's like overpriced, but like any kind of size and like you have... I feel like it preys on your dreams of being an organized person.
Okay.
And that's why I feel I fall victim to stores like that all the time.
It's like you could be organized if you only had this.
Yes. That is exactly what it is. I think we have established, if you have listened to this show for any amount of time, I am not the most organized person. I lose things constantly. I am very much, my mind is on what I am doing right now. And as soon as my mind is not on that thing anymore,
it's gone.
You're on to the next thing. And that could include, my mind was on opening the cabinet and getting glass out. And now my mind is on filling the glass. And so the cabinet just stays open. Like okay. that is my life and Mike's life. And so I have these dreams. I'll get into these like modes of wanting to be an organized person and thinking that I will fix my life and everything will be better once I just have the right containers. And I will personally change my habits, my behaviors, my brain chemistry will somehow be different if I just invest in some of these things that then I will all of a sudden know that this is where all of my t-shirts go instead of on the floor. It's never actually worked. Sorry to say.
I think Container Store should contact you and you could be a spokesperson and sell that exact idea.
I could try, but I don't have any proof. I just have the dream.
It's an ad.
All right, we're taking a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, to mow or to not mow? That is the question in No Mow May. How do you feel about that? As Goes Wisconsin, we'll be right back.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.